given Barbados's current negotiations with the International Monetary Fund, there is obviously much interest in the experience that Greece has had with the fund. That country has just come out of a series of bailout programs that came with years of austerity. Like Barbados, Greece suffered from the fallout of the 2008 international financial crisis. It had borrowed more money than it was able to make in revenue, so it sought financial help from the European Union and the IMF. Here's the BBC's Mark Lowen.
In 2010, Greece began to collapse. Revealing its sky-high deficit led to three bailouts, totaling over 300 billion euros. Austerity prompted near-daily protests. Despair turned to rage. Central Athens was frequently consumed by tear gas and petrol bombs. Greece was crumbling and risked taking the eurozone with it.
A huge bout of tear gas has just come up to this place where we're broadcasting from, so forgive me.
I covered the story as the Athens correspondent, and 8 years on, as Greece finishes its bailout program, I've come back. I spent what sometimes felt like endless days here on Syntagma Square, among the chaos of the protests. Today it's calm, the trees have grown, and it's full of tourists. But Greece's problems are still there. 20% are unemployed, down from a 28% high. Austerity has pushed one in five below the poverty line. The economy has shrunk by a quarter.
The medicine that was used was the wrong one.
Alexis Haritsis is Deputy Economy Minister.
We fully understand what they have endured in the last 8 years, but we strongly believe that these first indications of improvement in the Greek economy can and will be reflected in the daily life of ordinary people in the months to come.
The economic collapse created the so-called new poor, who suddenly lost their livelihoods and were pushed to food banks.
Dr. Angelos Chrysogilos is a specialist in Greek and European politics at King's College London.
What happens basically is that Greece is entering a new period of very close monitoring. It has adopted some very tough restrictions on its budgetary policy. So that actually means that the real life and the real economy of Greek people is not going to improve all that much. I think it's quite more important from the perspective of EU policymakers, because they're able to show to their electorates and to their constituencies that the Greek crisis is really over, whatever that may mean.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like over if you're Greek.
It doesn't really feel like it's over if you're Greek. Greece has accepted to basically having some tremendous budgetary surpluses from now until 2060. Greek public assets have been transferred to a privatization fund from now until for the next 90 years. It really is a pretty solemn occasion for Greeks today. What the narrative of the EU is that Greece is entering back into a state of being a normal country, of taking control of its own finances, of its own future. That is actually not true. Greek governments for the next decades are going to be very, very much curtailed and limited with regards to what they can do and how they manage their own economy.
So they're not standing on their own two feet, as the Greek Prime Minister put it?
I don't think we're standing on our own two feet. We're standing on our own two feet in the sense that we have to do as we are being told, knowing that if we don't do what we're being told, we're not be able to stand on our own two feet. Greeks are conscious that we cannot exist on our own in the financial markets. We cannot borrow on our own in the financial markets. But at the same time, we're not receiving money anymore from Europe. So we're basically being told that for the next decades, we actually have to make our own path through this economic situation. But at the same time, with very, very strong strings attached. So it's a state of purgatory, really.
That's Dr. Angelos Chrysogilos, a specialist in Greek and European politics. And this has been SAGICOR's Early Business.